Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, we have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind. Devil beware, Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Al-Qaeda. Remember that group planned and executed the 9/11 attacks that launched us into, well, some believe, into World War III. So let's pause and remember, we must never forget. You know, you might have forgotten about the Al-Qaeda group since Obama defeated them. They're no longer a factor, right? I mean, ever since the Benghazi attack, Obama has touted, I think, something like 32 times that he has defeated Al-Qaeda and they're no longer a threat. Well, this non-existent defeated group has published a hit list for lone wolves. You know what a jihadi lone wolf is? That's a call for individuals on their own to rise up and go all jihad on their neighbors. And so on this list, you have the Koch brothers, you got Bloomberg, Buffett, you've got Sam Walton, Bill Gates, all of them billionaires, of course. I noticed the one name notoriously missing from this list of billionaires, George Soros. One wonders, the Soros-sponsored terrorist arm of his Arab American Institute Foundation, employed or challenged to go and eliminate his competition? Nah, that can't be. Cicero said something to the effect that a republic can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but no republic can survive treason from within. How do we explain the Iran deal? I've touched on it a couple of times. Let's dig a little deeper into this. The particulars of the deal include releasing $150 billion in cash seized by sanctions dating back to the Islamic Revolution in Iran. When did that start? 78, 77, somewhere in their 80s, late 70s. Anyway, then the sanctions of the Bush years and so on. You will hear different numbers thrown around because a lot of those who are reporting the numbers don't really look very closely. For example, if you add up the raw numbers, it comes out to about $100 billion, but that doesn't take into consideration the interest that has accrued. Let's just look at the $12 billion held in the U.S. and the interest accrued over the last 35 years, estimated conservatively to be worth something like $33 billion now. So that would alone put it over $120 billion, and this, that, and the other, and it adds up to about $150. I don't want your eyes to gloss over and for anyone to, you know, start yawning. So we'll stop with the numbers, but the estimates putting it at around $150 billion, are legitimate. But then there is the argument over how much of that will actually go into Iranian hands. I understand Iran owes China $50 billion and that their infrastructure is in desperate need of updating at an estimated cost of some, I don't know, multiple billions. And so it goes. So we don't really need to be concerned, you know, according to Obama spokesperson Rice, for example, who said that, you know, most of this money is going to go here, there, and the other place, and some of it will probably be used to sponsor terrorist activities. So, you know, out of $150 billion, a billion here and there to support terrorist activities shouldn't give us too much concern, right? This is the same Susan Rice, you know, faithful Obama-Hillary dupe that they trotted out to tell us that the Benghazi attacks were instigated by a cheap, D-rated movie, spoofing Mohammed. When they knew all along that was a lie, they knew it was a terrorist attack. I refer to you to my last show. As an aside here, by the way, did you hear me? We now have proof that the Obama administration knew the truth about the Benghazi attack and that he purposely lied to the American people to cover it up. But no one seems to be angry about this except me. Anyway, Susan Rice tells us that, hey, you know, it's not like Iran's getting $100 billion to fund terrorism, although, quote, we should expect a portion of the funds will be used for terrorism, end quote. So how much is okay for her and Obama and that crowd? Why would Obama make a deal with Iran that he knows involves funding terrorism? You know, a billion here and a billion there buys a lot of terrorists. I found two very well-written analyses of the Iran nuke deal. We might get time to look at both of them, but we'll start off with this by Robert Satloff, executive director of the Washington Institute of Near East Policy. And in the interest of full disclosure, I should point out that he has been a supporter of Israel. That actually qualifies his analysis as having the integrity of intelligence and reason. You see, because since Israel has always offered to live at peace with her Arab neighbors, and her Arab neighbors have consistently refused to accept Israel's presence in the Middle East, threatening to push her off into the sea. You know, as David said, when I ask for peace or when I talk of peace, they only speak of war. That's the way it is there now. The reasonable-minded person would be inclined to support Israel and would be suspicious of Iran, who has repeatedly called her, Israel, the little devil or the little Satan, and called for her extermination. And so I can trust his level-headedness when reading the Iran deal, especially as it comports with my own limited reading of the particulars of that deal that I reported on earlier. After informing us he had read, quote, every mind-numbing page of the Iran nuclear agreement, end quote, and I totally know what he means, he assesses the agreement as actually, quote, a strategy paper that maps Iran's emergence as a regional power with the full blessing, even support, of the United States and the international community, end quote. Now, that's important to us because it goes to the reason Obama wants this deal, or at least one layer of those reasons. His negotiators gave up everything to the Iranians. It was as if Obama had said to them, bring home an agreement the Iranians will sign that includes at least some element of concession on their part to not make a bomb tomorrow. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but not a lot. When you read this thing, I mean, it's like the Iranians had a top drawer lawyer working their side, and we had total inept numbskulls working our side, except that we know that wasn't true. And so we must conclude, Obama said, essentially, give them anything they want in order to ensure we have a deal they'll sign. It's because underneath all of this is, listen, a strategy to change the playing field in the Middle East. Now listen, to show the Muslims we are not on Israel's side. And apparently, Obama will go to any lengths to achieve this. Or is there something more? Anyway, let's look at this expert take on the Iran deal. No hype, no sensationalism, just plain facts. When will inspectors get in to inspect sites? Well, you know, Iran gets 24 days. I said days, not hours. They get 24 days advance notice of any inspection. Take it from there. Likewise, by the way, I understand Americans can't do the inspections. Actually, I'm not sure if that still stands in this agreement. This fellow doesn't bring that out. What are the consequences for Iranian violations? Resumption of sanctions. That's it. However, and now get this, first, quote, all contracts signed by Iran up until that point are grandfathered in and immune from sanctions, end quote. Second, quote, the agreement includes a statement that Iran considers a reimposition of sanctions as freeing it from all commitments and restrictions under the deal, end quote. I agree with Satloff's observation that this effectively gives Iran a free pass in all manner of small to mid-level violations, but it also gives to Iran, they're out. When they're ready to move out of the deal, it is move out. You know, because the UN is not going to undo the entire deal over anything but the most egregious of offenses. Of course, there should have been stipulated specific consequences for certain levels of offenses and so on. But anyway, with regard to sanctions, note also the Iran deal calls for a rollback of, listen, all nuclear-related sanctions, now whether imposed by the United Nations, the European Union, or the United States. This includes all energy, financial, transportation, and trade sanctions. The agreement includes page after page of names of people and companies whose assets will be unfrozen. And in addition to that, sanctions relief will include, in year 5, the lifting of the conventional arms embargo on Iran, and in year 8, the lifting of delivery of ballistic missile components to Iran. What are we thinking? And now, third, get a load of this nonsense. Signatories, that's the fellows who signed this thing, parties who sign it, are prohibited from, quote, reintroducing or reimposing the sanctions. Okay. But it gets even better if we, by better, mean worse. Later in the agreement, Iran has negotiated a ban on, quote, imposing discriminatory, regulatory, and procedural requirements in lieu of the sanctions and restrictive measures covered by the agreement, end quote. I wish I had more time to explain it, but if I did, I would tell you that this language actually gives Iran the opportunity to make the excuse to drop the deal at any time they want to. The U.S. is essentially promising not to apply sanctions against Iran for anything. I mean, quote, from terrorism to human rights violations, end quote. This deal binds us from imposing any sanctions for any reason at all. It's like saying to Iran, okay, you have a free hand to engage in terrorism and human rights violations at your will with our blessing. And you're going to see why I said the negotiators on the Iranian side of this deal must be ROFL. I mean, rolling on the floor laughing. Not only are we promising not to sanction them for anything, we are promising to assist Iran to develop in energy, finance, technology, and trade. So we're going to do for Iran what we did for Japan. Only Japan had to pay more for our services than simply promise to be nice. What must our other allies in the Middle East think about all of this, much less the Israelis? I mean, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and others in the region consider the Tehran regime as the, how do you say that, Eminence Grise, something like that. It's French for gray eminence, and it's the idea of a powerful, controlling decision-maker standing in the gray in the shadows in the background, manipulating a public player, kind of like Soros behind Obama, you know. Many in the Middle East consider Tehran to be the powerful, controlling decision-making influence behind Bashar Assad's oppressive regime, and they are supporters of the Houthi rebellion in Yemen, the rise of radical Shiite influence in Iraq, and standing in back of the most extreme Palestinian groups, terrorist groups like Hezbollah and so on. Iran gets all this while keeping Americans hostage. Can you believe this? I read a book once titled, None Dare Call It Treason. I don't know what else to call this. Obama says the deal is necessary as the only way short of war to retard, slow down Iran's progress toward going nuclear. Did you know that another part of this deal is that, I think it's either year five or I mentioned it earlier, Iran's procurement of conventional arms will be lifted. Iran's ability to buy parts for their ballistic missiles, and so it will be lifted. In other words, our arms manufacturers here and elsewhere will be able to sell some of our most sophisticated weaponry to Iran. Look, if the idea is to slow down Iran's progress toward the inevitable endgame of them getting a nuke, why do we want to facilitate them in the process? And if it is generally believed that war with Iran is inevitable, why wait until they're fully armed, and why help them rebuild and strengthen them and help them fortify? Does this make any sense to anyone? Look, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Haass, he looked at this agreement and he said, quote, even without violating the accord, Iran can position itself to break out of nuclear constraints when the agreement's critical provisions expire. At that point, there will be little to hold it back except the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which is a voluntary agreement that does not include penalties for noncompliance, end quote. Ah, whatever. This deal is so bad, not even the Trumpster can save it. But he wants to try. I think there's some naivete here we better be concerned about. He thinks he can find a loophole in the contract and exploit it. Wow. Does he think he's dealing with some bank here in America? Well, he doesn't understand that he's dealing with people who have no compunctions about lying or breaking a deal with the infidel and no regard for any laws over here. He's accustomed to dealing with contracts in the context of America's very generous bankruptcy laws and in a context where law has some meaning. But look, any deal a radical Muslim state makes with an infidel nation is only good as long as it's good for them. No one, and I mean no one, can create loopholes in agreements quite like the Arab. I mean, they'll find 10 loopholes to justify what they want to do while crying foul if the Trumpster asserts any claims based on the contract that they don't like. And the deal will be in the same trash can where Obama has put our Constitution. So, Trump, you might as well go ahead and tear it up as soon as you get there, because, anyway, you catch that, didn't you? Obama has trashed that whole bit about treaties being ratified by the Senate. Oh, and you caught that scoundrel McConnell and Boehner lately who want to make this, what, a card in their political poker game? You know, after this deal is done, the blood of the first American who was killed by Iranian-sponsored terrorism funded, as Susan Rice and Obama et al. Really fully expect, at least some of that money will be used to sponsor terrorist activities. Well, that's more blood on Obama's wicked hands. Cicero said, a republic can survive fools and the ambitious, but it cannot survive a traitor from within. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back. My dear friends, speaking of survival, remember Survival Expo 15 is coming up, and survival is among the top level instincts of human nature. Protecting and providing for our families is directly connected with the instincts for survival. I want my family to be prepared to survive in the event of a major emergency. You know, be it a massive earthquake, flooding, severe storms, an EMP attack by Korea over the western United States, something the Pentagon takes seriously, even if you don't. What if riots break out here in Santa Maria like they did in Ferguson? It's hard to imagine anything like that happening here. But anyway, it's important to have a plan in place to protect your family in the event of an emergency of any kind. And that's why Lighthouse Baptist Church has teamed up with some friends of the Ray Massage Show to present the Santa Maria Area Emergency Preparedness Survival Expo 15. Formal registration will open on September 15th with a registration form available to you online. And registration will remain open through October 16th. Now, you can call in a pre-registration. And as I promised, the first five who pre-register will receive a bucket of rice that you can take home and store to get you started. There are only two left. You'd better call today, Sunday or Monday, because formal registration begins on the 15th and then that deal is no longer available. Now, we have finally settled firmly on date and time for this event. So get your calendar handy and write this down. October the 17th. October the 17th, and it will begin at 9 and run through noon. Now, those of the presenters will remain to answer questions and so on past noon if you like. But that's the date and that's the time, October 17 from 9 to noon at the Lighthouse. Call 1-888-770-8000 to pre-register and qualify for the free bucket of rice, or go to our website at www.thebrainmassageshow.com and send me an email giving me your name, your contact information, and how many you plan to bring with you to Survival Expo 15, October 17, 9 to noon. I'll see you there.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, what about these refugees from Syria that Obama wants us to receive here in the United States? Seems natural enough to me for people caught in the crossfire of that conflict to gather up whatever belongings they can and take their families across the nearest border. But now they're piling into boats, shoving off into the ocean, some of them drowning in their effort to flee war-torn Syria and trying to get into Europe and America. President Obama has ordered his team to admit at least 10,000 Syrian refugees next year. Now we've got a sudden tidal wave of Syrian refugees clamoring to get into Europe and America. Let's take a look at this. Already hundreds of thousands are fleeing Syria into Turkey. Over 1.7 million had fled there as of March this year, and that grew another couple hundred thousand in just a few months, 6 months. There's now 1.9 by September. There are well over a million that have fled into Lebanon, over half a million into Jordan and elsewhere. Over 7 million have been displaced within Syria. And we haven't even talked about Iraq, and I wonder why I can't find any stats on Iraq. Why are we not hearing about a massive flood of refugees spilling out over the borders of Iraq, fleeing ISIS actions there? And it's important to note here, ISIS is killing them in Iraq. So we wonder, has ISIS shifted its focus from Syria, allowing the refugees a chance to sneak out without their notice? ISIS is every bit as much active in Syria now as they were before. So one wonders if there hasn't been a strategy develop here. Why is ISIS looking the other way while millions flee from Syria, but they seem intent on killing every man, woman, and child they can find in Iraq? I mean, this lot like them. More disturbing, as of July this year, did you know that there are 20 Chaldean Christians, Iraqi Christians, fleeing Iraq to America who have been detained in San Diego for 4 months as of July? And so far as I know, they're still there, waiting to be processed. However, according to this report, preferential treatment for asylum is expedited for Somalis, Iraqis, and Syrians, among whom there is a higher probability of jihadis embedding in these groups. What is going on? The claim is that they're overwhelmed, you know, but still, Obama's policy seems to be putting the jihadis on a fast track and slow it all down when it comes to the Christians, doesn't it? It's all part of his overall strategy, I think, to convince the Muslim world that America is not a Christian nation. Or perhaps the people he's trying to convince about America not being a Christian nation is Christians here in America. Okay, I've got a whole show on developing on that. There's a lot to support that concern. Seems to me Obama desires to make the statement to Christians that America is not their home. They do not have a country. America is not a Christian-friendly place. Not anymore. Christians don't get preferred treatment in America, no siree, Bob. And his favorite way of making this point is to go out of his way to make sure Christians are marginalized and get pushed to the back of the line, so to speak, or sit in the back of the bus, maybe, you know, a little bit of that going on. in their own country, persecuted, you know, like these 20 Christian refugees from Iraq. Of course, we know that just because they're Christians doesn't make it easier to process them than anybody else. Okay, but how is it that it's more difficult to process Christians than these others? How is it that every illegal immigrant into this country gets released on his own recognizance and non-Christian Somalis, Iraqis, Assyrians, all refugees, get expedited through the process? But when it comes to Christians, there's a pattern here. Quote, this follows the disturbing pattern that we have seen from the State Department of ignoring the particular targeting of Christians by ISIS, end quote, said McDonald. Quote, while giving preferential treatment for asylum to other groups with expedited processing, like Somalis, Iraqis, and Syrians, some of whom could very well be members of jihadist movements, end quote. Yes, Obama has specifically called for 10,000 to be received into our country by October of next year, but the overall plan is, or what I should say is, Obama has specifically authorized for 70,000 refugees to be received. And then John Kerry recently has said the number may well be revised upward to 100,000. Now, we know they don't want the Christians here. They've made that real plain. So one begins to wonder what's going on. The president alleged wants to bring in 10,000 Syrian refugees by next year. That's almost an insult to the millions being butchered and oppressed over there. One begins to wonder what's going on. I have an article here from Daily Mail. And according to this article, Italian press today, September 11, 2015, released a report that ISIS has plans to send 500,000 immigrants into the West to cause chaos in the Western countries. ISIS threatens to send 500,000 migrants to Europe as a psychological weapon, in chilling echo of Gaddafi's prophecy that the Mediterranean will become a sea of chaos. Now, letters from jihadists show plans to hide terrorists among refugees. And you begin to kind of put all this together. Look, we know that ISIS intends to embed jihadis in waves of refugees fleeing into Western countries, and Obama knows this too. He orders that we receive 70,000. Kerry thinks it's going to be more like 100,000. We're thinking about 9/11 today. Look, are we getting set up for a 9/11 on steroids? How many jihadis can you embed in 100,000 that we want to expedite into this country? While we make sure they know that we're not welcoming the Christians. All these people will, of course, be put on the dole. And Russia's called it the coming of Welfaristan. So my response to all this is that we should oppose Hijra. And that's the Muslim word taken from the Quran and used by militant Islamists for the idea of jihad by immigration. No, we should not receive this ISIS Trojan horse into this country. We must set up a vetting procedure before we let them in. And the best way to help these people is to go over there and stop ISIS like we should have done in the first place. Otherwise, we're going to end up with ISIS here. And God help us. All right, I've got to go. Who knows? We might even have to deal with an ISIS attack here within our own borders. Christians, we need to take our country back. And I'm going to preach a message Sunday night that presents the biblical principle supporting an effort to take America back for God. That concept is a biblically based one and supportable by the Bible. And then, in a follow-up message, I'm going to outline a plan to do it. Now, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. You say lights on if you see the lights are on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the warning. Essentially, it means you agree with what I'm saying. Or you call and you say it lights off in order to, you know, register your protest. That means you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today, lights on or lights off? The number to call is 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000 to register or to pre-register for Survival Expo 15. Leave a message, give us your name, the number coming, and your contact information. Or go to our website. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, thebrainmassageshow.com. In the right column, you'll see a place to write me an email. Give me your name, your contact information, how many are coming, and you'll get pre-registered for Survival Expo 15. And if you're one of the first five that call in, you'll get a free bucket of rice to get your food storage started. If you're in a hurry when you call me, by the way, you can say lights on or off and hang up. But if you will, please leave a message. I'd love to hear from my audience. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face with, to confront. The greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps it's been a while since you've experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Or perhaps you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015. And when you do, you'll know that God is real. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Pastor Scheidbach's series of messages, Encounter God, are delivered Sunday mornings at the Lighthouse. Call 805-347-9887 for more information.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release norepinephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
My dear friend, remember, Survival Expo 15 is coming up, and survival is among the top-level instincts of human nature. Protecting and providing for our families is directly connected with the instincts for survival. I want my family to be prepared to survive in the event of a major emergency. You know, be it a massive earthquake, flooding, severe storms, an EMP attack by Korea over the western United States, something the Pentagon takes seriously, even if you don't. What if riots break out here in Santa Maria like they did in Ferguson? It's hard to imagine anything like that happening here. But anyway, it's important to have a plan in place to protect your family in the event of an emergency of any kind. And that's why Lighthouse Baptist Church has teamed up with some friends of the Ray Massage Show to present the Santa Maria Area Emergency Preparedness Survival Expo 15. Formal registration will open on September 15th with a registration form available to you online. And registration will remain open through October 16th. Now, you can call in a pre-registration. And as I promised, the first five who pre-register will receive a bucket of rice that you can take home and store to get you started. There are only two left. You'd better call today, Sunday, or Monday, because formal registration begins on the 15th, and then that deal is no longer available. Now, we have finally settled firmly on date and time for this event, so get your calendar handy and write this down. October the 17th. October the 17th, and it will begin at 9 and run through noon. Now, those of the presenters will remain to answer questions and so on past noon, if you like. But that's the date and that's the time, October 17 from 9 to noon at the Lighthouse. Call 1-888-770-8000 to pre-register and qualify for the free bucket of rice, or go to our website at www.thebrainmassageshow.com and send me an email giving me your name, your contact information, and how many you plan to bring with you to Survival Expo 15, October 17, 9 to noon. I'll see you there.